Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10, select styles only.
Never worry about the people who don't like you. Love those who love you.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd, and as always, you can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble. We are breaking up the season preview podcast series again to revisit our positional tiers shows, and we're going to be doing the shooting guards in this podcast. And to discuss the shooting guards and the shooting guard tiers, I am joined by the author of the positional tiers articles over on Basketball Monster, and that is, of course, Matt Smith. Matt, welcome back.
Lloydie, how's things?
It's good, thanks, Matty. We're going okay. Crows had a big win. You must be feeling pretty happy.
They did. So my team's one win away from a grand final and two wins away from a premiership. Looking to do what your team did last year. So it would be the first time in 20 years that we've won a premiership. So it's pretty exciting times over here.
Yeah, and probably the best part of that win was the fact that you knocked off the Giants. So that's what everyone in the footy world is pretty happy about that. I know everyone in Adelaide is, but everyone over here is pretty ecstatic that the Giants went down without too much of a fight. But I don't think too many people here are listening for our AFL talk. We're going to talk shooting guards, and we're going to look at the tier system that you have. If you want to hear about how we explain the tiers, you can go back and listen to the start of the point guard tier podcast. But we'll get straight into talking about these shooting guards, Maddie. And we start with tier one, and I don't think anyone would have any argument as to the player that we've got sitting by his lonesome in tier one.
They shouldn't know that's James Harden, so pretty clear cut right there at the top of the charts. Still the number one ranked player in our eight category projections, even with the arrival of Chris Paul. So maybe a slight decrease in assists, but all it does is bring James Harden and Russell Westbrook back to the pack, as we said last week.
Yeah, now I've got Jim averaging 9 assists per game, and people go, oh, that's high. Like, he averaged over 11. He was almost at 11.5 last season, so I've docked him 2.5 assists. And as I discussed with Kyle in the Josh versus Kyle projection podcast the other day, we were talking about this. There's nobody else on this team that handles the ball at all. Like, no one. Trevor Ariza gets no assists. Ryan Anderson's, I think, negative assists. Clint Capella's not getting assists. Eric Gordon, yeah, but when Lou Williams arrived, Eric Gordon averaged like 1.7 assists. Like, the ball is going through nobody else's hands apart from Paul and Harden for the full 48 minutes of these games. So while both of these guys are going to take a hit in assists, I've got the entire Houston team projected for basically the exact same amount of assists as they got last year, maybe half an assist extra. And you know, it's almost entirely distributed between those two players. And I think that's the way no one's going to handle it. So people are worried about Chris Paul coming in and doing that. I'm not worried. I would, in most cases, if I got pick number one, I would definitely consider Harden. Now, I understand positional scarcity and taking Towns, but I'm all for taking Jim at number one. Just a quick, I've got the number one pick in the head-to-head Champions League for the Red Rock Listener Leagues, which starts next week. I've got number one pick. I'll give you all a head start as to who I'm picking, and I'm picking Steph Curry at number one. But it's because we count three-point percentage in our league. So I'm taking Steph. That's a heads-up to everyone in that league. Steph is going at number one in that league, so you can adjust your picks after that. But Harden, in any other eight cat, I'd consider him at one. Would you consider him at one?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got Harden and Kevin Durant right there at one and two, but completely depends who you want to build around. And just a quick stat in terms of James Harden and Chris Paul with their assists. They could be the first teammates in at least the last 18 years. I haven't gone back any further than that to average at least 7 assists each per game. So that's the sort of production we're talking about. And as you said, there's no other player on the team that can handle the ball like these two.
It's almost guaranteed that they're getting 7. There's no way that both of these guys fall under 7 assists. It is just absolutely not happening, because they are D'Antoni, unlike Doc Rivers, he knows how to stagger his players so that there's one of them on the court at all times running things. So they will be getting those numbers. There is absolutely no way they are falling under 7 assists. So let's move to Tier 2. We've got another player that's sticking out here on his own in Tier 2. Who have you got there?
Yeah, another Jimmy Butler, moving across from Chicago to Minnesota and, joining his old coach in Tom Thibodeau, where he played, 38, 39 minutes under him in Chicago. I think he might take a small hit to his value just playing between sort of Towns and Wiggins, but it's definitely not enough to drop him out of the top 20. So still should be in that sort of 15 to 20 range again this season.
Where do you think he takes that hit in his value?
I think probably a small hit in terms of his points per game, and maybe a small hit to his assist as well. Would have been a bigger hit if Rubio was still there, but I still think they'll play through him and Jeff Teague will play. We're not so much off the ball, but the ball will run through Jimmy Butler on the wing, but probably his points per game would drop slightly, I think.
Yeah, that's what I've got. I've got his points per game dipping this season as well, by 1.5 points per game. His assists, he was at 5.5 last year. I've actually got him at 5.8 this year, and that's because the second half of last year post-All-Star, he averaged 6.8 assists, and I don't think many people would realise just how many assists Butler was getting. And we also saw Thibodeau last season that when the Timberwolves at the start of the season were struggling a bit, he was running the ball through Wiggins and LaVine and having Rubio stand off to the side. So he was like, I want my best scorers to initiate the offense. Now, it didn't work because Wiggins and LaVine can't pass. They don't have great dribble. They're not good court vision guys. But Jimmy Butler's a different player. He's different to Wiggins. He's not LaVine. Like, he's shown that he can run offenses in the NBA. He showed it last year. So Thibodeau, I think, will have absolutely no problem saying, Jim, I just need you to run everything here, mate. Like, I just need you to do all of this stuff, and you bring the ball up the court, you facilitate, you get your 6 assists a game and your 22 points, and Teague is going to be the one that really cops it there. I don't think they're going to be saying, Jim, I can't have the ball in your hands because we've got to make sure that Jeff Teague runs everything for us. I just don't see Thibodeau running that way. So Jim is a real solid early to mid-second round pick, in my opinion. Despite the drop in points, it gets offset, I think, by his strong assist numbers.
Yep, and the elite steals again there as well.
Of course. Tier 3, we've got a group of players here in this tier, Matt. How are we looking here for Tier 3?
Yeah, we've got Bradley Beal, CJ McCollum and Klay Thompson. In our Basketball Monster projections, Klay Thompson's value is just slightly off, but I think we can include him here in this tier with the elite 3 points. Some amazing efficiency, Bradley Beal, up around 47-48%, the same with CJ McCollum. And Klay and CJ in particular, some sort of 0.5 blocks per game as well from the shooting guard position. So I don't think we can expect any major variations in their production this season.
Yeah, Klay's just going to be Klay. Brad Beal, it's all going to be if he stays healthy, which I don't have any concerns about. McCollum, I talked about it yesterday on the Blazers season preview. Post-All-Star break, he was just a pitiful amount of steals, like 0.5 steals per game, and that dropped him about 30 spots in the rankings. So when you look at his numbers post-Nurkic, he dropped off, and his field goal percentage dropped off by 1.5%, so it's a little bit of a dip, but it was more the fact that his steal rate cut in half, and we expect that to bounce back up somewhat this year, and he's going to be, all three of these guys are a pretty solid third-round players, and if you had to reach into the top of the second, or the end of the second, I don't think I'd have too much of a concern with taking a Beal or a McCollum. I probably wouldn't take Klay at the end of the second. There is a slight differentiation, but they are all pretty close in their high efficiency, 3-point shooting, 20 point per game guys who provide some okay other numbers. Beal with his assists and Thompson with his blocks and CJ with his percentage from the free throw line, all that sort of stuff is really tied in. So they are all really close. Tier 4, a couple of really interesting players here, players who we obviously didn't see the best of last season. So who have we got here and how are we looking at them?
Yeah, that's right. They were both touted as top 25 players last season in Chris Middleton and Victor Oladipo. Now, there's no reason to sort of take them in that range, but I think if you can sort of get them in that fourth round, that's some really good value there. I think in particular Middleton will take on that extra responsibility with Jabari Parker out for a large portion of the season, and Oladipo hopefully will be that main man there in Indiana, so really a good chance to see what he can do.
I think I've been pretty cautious cautious with their projections, and there's no reason that both of these guys, or at least one of these guys, doesn't hit 20 points per game. I've got them both at about 17.5. I think both of them can get to 20. They're both going to give you pretty much the same rebounds, the same assists, similar steals, similar threes. It's more just a slight efficiency nod that gives it to Middleton. But everything is very, very similar between these two players. And you might not think that Middleton and Oladipo are the same player, but they pretty much are. So I think you can get Oladipo at a larger discount than what you can get Middleton, because there are people, and Matt, we know this all too well, there are people who are going to come out and say, I drafted him last year, he was shit, not touching him, and he's going to fall. And you're going to get him in the 50s or 60s in some situations. Now, if your league is full of smart people, he won't fall to the 60s. But I guarantee you that a large portion of people listening to this podcast are going to have situations where they're sitting there at pick 55 and Victor Oladipo is available, and they should pinch themselves and go, shit, like, what's going on? Why is he here? This is both guys with legitimate top, you said top 25. If one of them finished in the top 20, it wouldn't be a stunning development to me.
No. And I like the way that those people always have a really deep voice as well.
Yeah, I've got to differentiate it from my normal high-pitched squeak. Just got to get that that really low timber in the voice to really, really, really get it happening. It's my standard person who I don't agree with voice.
Yes.
Tier 5, got three blokes sitting here, and they couldn't really be different, any more different in terms of players and what they provide, but their overall value puts them in that similar range. One of them you're going to be able to get significantly later, so you don't draft him necessarily where these guys are, but that's where his value sits. So who we got here?
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth, and I was going to say that they all offer something different, but this is the point of tiers, is to group these players of similar overall value. We've got DeMar DeRozan, Gary Harris and Nicholas Batum. So,
Nice, Gary.
Bowled pretty well in the last test.
Didn't he? He was good.
The line was better than the Tigers. DeMar DeRozan, obviously, his elite points and free throw percentage. Nicholas Batum still offers that Swiss Army knife type of production across the board. Doesn't hurt you anywhere in particular, although his field goal percentage would be nice if that rose a little bit. And Gary Harris, I'm not really sure if we can call him a breakout player, considering he was a top 40 player at the second half of last season.
He already broke out. That's crazy.
That's right. I think I've still probably got him in my breakout section, which is an article that you, myself, and Kyle are working on, which will come out at some stage. But yeah, just super efficient. The steals and threes in particular, combination there as well. So yeah, sort of late fourth, fifth round, sort of around the 50, I think, for these three guys. You're going to have to be pretty aggressive to land Gary Harris in competitive legs this season.
The crazy thing is like, we have Harris and DeRozan projected at basically the identical value. DeRozan goes at pick 30 in ADP, and Harris is 107. That is a ridiculous amount. And for DeRozan to bring back the value of a top 30 player, he needs to improve significantly on what he did last year in a career year. And maybe that's possible, but if he's at 50, I love it. If he's at 45, it's fine. If he's at 30, then I don't see it, because you take McCollum, you can take Beal perhaps, Middleton, even Oladipo in that range. Thompson's going to be around. I just don't see DeRozan there. But you look at Harris, and that is just a shining beacon. And you don't wait to pick 100. As you said, Matt, people will be on it. Get him at 70. Get him at 80. You're still getting 30 spots of value, but you're not missing out on someone like that. So that's when there's these just absolute value guys that just stand out like dog's balls to people like us who are just looking at this all the time. Go early. Go 10 spots early. Same with the Blue Arrow. You can go earlier on him. Go 20 spots earlier. It doesn't matter. You're still getting value. You're not taking them at ceiling at all. And Gaz's ceiling is probably even higher than where we've got him. He could break out and become a 20-point scorer. It's probably unlikely given Millsap and Jokic there, but it could happen. He could jump up. So there is significant value there. And Batum's another one of those guys like Oladipo. People just hate him. For whatever irrational reason, they just hate him. I don't know what it is. I said this the other day. I don't know if it's because he punched Juan Carlos Navarro in the dick that people are upset at him. I don't know what it is. People just hate this guy for whatever reason it is. And he either slides in draft so he can get him a bargain and steal, or in some numbnuts leagues, he gets dropped to the waiver wire and you can go and pick him up. He's always a guy to watch, and he's a sensational roto player as well, Matt.
I don't think I've ever actually owned Nicholas Batum in a fantasy league. So, but there's always that one or two players that you don't actually know how good or how bad they are until you own them, sort of thing. And maybe Nicholas Batum is that. Maybe he's just not fun to own. I don't know. Yeah, like I said, I've never owned him, so I can't really comment. But yeah, he always seems to produce. So I'm not sure what it is.
I've owned him. I guess it's because he's not sexy. It's like everything he does is average. and yeah, above average assists. It's not like he's coming out and having 25, 9, and 7, and people go, oh, look at the Batumi. He just goes, okay, he's 16, 5, and 5 with a steal. And people go, that's fine. There's just nothing exciting about that. Yeah. Now, tier 6, we've got a player just sitting here all on his own, and you can take the floor and go here with your boyfriend.
Yeah, so Devin Booker in tier 6. You're going to get that elite scoring, but we really need to see sort of an uptick in his steals and his efficiency. And I'll listen to your son's season preview as well. And was it Keelan, I think?
Callan Olsen, yeah.
Callan, sorry, who you had on, who really thinks his passing game can grow as well. And I think so. I agree with that. If they can sort of start spreading the ball and sharing the ball, and maybe that's not quite going to happen while Eric Bledsoe is there, but I think Devin Booker does have a latent passing game there that can really develop over the next couple of seasons. And just in regards to Gary Harris and taking players early, my general rule is if they aren't going to be there with your next pick, then it's fine to take them. It's not too early. So if you're picking it at 60 and then next pick's not till 80 and you know they're definitely not going to be there, well, then take them at 60. So yeah, that's my general rule on taking players early.
Yeah, I'm with that as well. Yeah, you got a lot of this talk. It depends on where you're drafting. If you've got the first pick or the last pick, and you've got those back-to-back picks, like you don't pick for 24 picks in a row then. So yeah, reaching becomes a bullshit term in those middle to late stages of the draft, because you're talking about waiting 24 spots. And there's a guy that you need that fits what you need to do, and you want to just try and squeeze as much value out of it as possible. You might not be squeezing any value out, because you might be getting that value squeezed out of him on another team, and that's the risk that you run. But if you are picking at those turns, it is more important to just be like, screw it, I'm just getting the guy I want. Like, I'm not worried about, or where should I take him necessarily, within reason, but you really do need to pay attention to that. Now, in Tier 7, we've got two players here. One of these guys, probably more considerate point guard this year. Only played, I think, 6 games at point guard last year, but he's probably going to be doing that this year. So who have we got here in Tier 7?
Yeah, Jamal Murray and Avery Bradley. As you said, a lot of people are expecting Murray to break out this season with that, fingers crossed, that full-time starting point guard role. And just go back and have a look at his monthly splits last season and see how he improved month after month. And Avery Bradley over there in Detroit now. Expect his rebounds to drop a little bit playing next to Andre Drummond. But I think his other counting stats can be replicated. So I think he still should hold value in that 60 to 80 range.
If you look at Jamal Murray, what he did in April, it's pretty impressive numbers. He was playing some pretty big minutes when Jameer Nelson went down, and he was doing, like, he's not going to average 7 assists per game. I think we're all aware of that, because Jokic is there and Millsap's going to handle the ball, and Harris is a surprisingly good passer too. But he is going to play a useful role. He averaged in April, he averaged 15, 3.5, and 5 in 33 minutes per game. And if he got that this year, that's, no one should be surprised by that whatsoever. And he did that while shooting 29% from 3. And he is a much better shooter than that, so that can improve. He's still had a true shooting of 54% because he didn't miss a single free throw in that time frame. But he can clearly improve from last season, and I love him. And he's, where's he going? At a pick 135 on Yahoo? It's ridiculous. And he's never going to last till that, but that's ridiculous. 113 on ESPN, top 50 upside for him. Bradley probably top 60, maybe top 55 upside. These are really good picks in this portion of the draft. Now, we're getting into the more of the dregs, I guess, of the shooting guys, but there's still some pretty good value out there. Let's look at tier 8 and what players we've got there.
Yeah, I've got Malcolm Brogdon here. I know he's mainly a point guard, but the rankings and list that I've been using, he is listed as a shooting guard. And Lou Williams is the other one. So once again, sort of Brogdon's don't jump out at you. He's, you know, fairly even across the board. He doesn't do one thing in particularly well, but he won't hurt you in a particular area. Should push for about 30 minutes per game this season as well. And Lou Williams, similar, won't sort of hurt values from that, hurt owners in regards to value from that guard spot. But I don't know, he's still a little bit inconsistent for mine. We saw him go through stretches last year where he was a top 20, top 25 player, and then just calls off and comes back to the field and finds himself on waiver wires and people dropping him. So I don't know how you feel about Lou Williams, but I don't think I'll be owning him on many teams this season.
I think he's going to be in between Lakers Lou Williams and Houston Lou Williams. Where he comes out projected, I don't like picking him at that spot, which is around his ADP. I don't think that that's a great use of it, but he's going to be a decent scorer. He's going to hit some threes, but most of the time I'd let him slide maybe to 80 or 90 in a lot of cases, but the value is there. Like, what I've projected him at is, you know, 17 points in 28 minutes, you know, taking a good amount of shots off the bench for the Clippers on a unit that doesn't have many ball dominant guys. He can be that player. He's not going to do anything in the other categories. It's just what he is. He's going to be good from the free throw line. He's going to get to the free throw line a lot, and that's a lot of where his value comes from too. He's just getting to the line a ton and having a pretty high free throw percentage. So that's where a lot of that value comes. So if you are struggling in the free throw percentage category, then go ahead and grab Williams in this zone, because there's not many guys after that who are going to be getting to the line, five attempts per game and hitting 85%, which is a real useful skill to have in a fantasy guard. If we go to tier 9, I really like these three guys you've got clumped here. Really high upside players. Guys that in most cases you're going to be able to grab with your last pick. Probably all of them will be available. Maybe one, maybe not. But you might be able to go all last pick with these guys. And I think they've all got top 100 upside.
Yep, easily. And that's Rodney Hood, Josh Richardson, and Norman Powell. I know how much you love Josh Richardson, but I love him more, so back off. And the Jazz, they're seriously going to need someone to score for them this season. So, best case scenario, we could see Rodney Hood sort of 18 to 20 points per game. As you said, just love Richardson and Powell and their upside and opportunity in Miami and Toronto respectively. With Powell in particular, when he played at least 28 minutes per game last season, he averaged 17 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal and 1 3. So they're pretty good numbers. And as you tweeted out, Josh Richardson, I don't want to say this because I don't want people to know. I want him to fly under the radar, but that 1.5 steals, blocks and threes combo there for a while at the end of last season, that's just fantasy gold.
Yeah, he was only scoring like 10 points a game, and he was still like a top 50 player playing 34 minutes a night. And I continually say this, and I continue to being told, you're wrong, but I think he's a better player than Deion Waiters, and I think he's a better player than Justice Winslow. You can't argue with me that he's not a better player than Justice Winslow. I don't care what anyone says. He's better than Justice Winslow at this point. But people will very staunchly back up Deion. I think he's better than Deion. I think he's better for the Heat team than Deion. And I think that he's, as when I did the Heat preview with David and Wes the other day, where they were in agreement, they think that he's going to start over Justice Winslow. And I love him as a late pick to get those blocks out of a shooting guard. He's just crazy value. And there's everything we've seen from him, he's just going to continue to do that. Tier 10, Matt, it's packed. There's a lot of guys in this group, so let's go through the names here and then a bit of a chat about all these guys.
Yeah, I did consider sort of trying to split this tier, but they all offer sort of that, once again, that similar overall value and do a little bit of nothing, if that makes sense. So we've got Buddy Hield, Dwayne Wade, Bogdanovich, Deion Waiters, Tim Hardaway Jr., Alan Crabb, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Eric Gordon, JJ Redick, Tariq Evans, Danny Green, and Andre Iguodala. So I don't know whether you want to pick out a couple of names in particular. I guess on that Heat theme, the boys you were talking to were really high on Deion Waiters, and one of them said that he could lead the Heat in scoring this season.
Yeah, I clearly am not in on that. Said that to them. I didn't believe that. It could happen. Look, anything could happen within reason, and that could be one of them. I don't see it for Waiters. He was hitting just so many tough shots last season. I just feel like we might see a little bit of Waiters regression this season. But there's a bunch of guys in this group that I do really like. I talked about Tariq on the Grizzlies show the other day. If he's fit and healthy and playing 29 minutes a game as the backup unit ball handling guy, there's a top 60 player in him, because we're talking about a guy that could be, maybe if I conservatively say 15-4-4,
yep.
That's real conservative, because it could be 18-5-5 if he's healthy. And I do think, and this is a good point, when we're coming into last season talking about Tariq, one of the main talking points is he had 3 knee surgeries in 9 months. That was the big talking point. We're worried. He hasn't had knee surgery in the last 18 months now. So that's a big difference for him that he hasn't had that surgery. He's eased his way through all of last season, a healthy off season that maybe on this team that just needs anyone to do anything offensively apart from Gasol and Conley, that he can take a significant role there. So I'm really interested to see him. I also, I think we agree on Bogdanovich. We're pretty interested to see what he's going to do in Sacramento. I think he's a real talent. Bradley Beal light is how I always describe him. Can rebound, can assist, can get steals, hits threes, is efficient, can score. And I was talking with Kyle the other day about this, and we were listening to the Dunked On Basketball podcast. Nate was talking to James Ham, a beat reporter for the Kings, and I was absolutely stunned, Matt. I don't know if you heard this, but James said that that Bogdan was going to battle Buddy Hield for the starting shooting guard job, which was just astounding to me.
It was. I did hear that, and I did hear your discussion with Kyle as well. It was really interesting. And yeah, whether he starts or whether he's in that six-man role, I think the playing time will be there. And maybe there's a chance that they play Bogdanović and Hield next to each other as well.
I think that's a chance.
So yeah, I watched Bogdanović pretty closely over the last couple of seasons when he was with the Suns, in some of those international tournaments and the Olympics in particular, and it's just so impressive. So really looking forward to seeing what he can do at NBA level. And Buddy Hield, I also quite like as well, just to see what he can offer. Nothing particular stood out, but we know Sacramento wanted him in that DeMarcus Cousins deal. Shot 48% moving across. I don't think that he can continue that for the entire season, but if he can stay in that sort of mid 40 range, offer some good points and threes, and maybe get his assists and steals up a little bit as well, he could be another sort of sleeper guy in the late rounds.
I'll tell you who I do like out of this group, who I feel is going to be Joe Johnson, and by Joe Johnson, I mean he's going to be unfairly shit on for his contract, and that's Tim Hardaway Jr. He was putting up really good numbers for Atlanta in the second half of last season. He's going to have an opportunity that should rise during the season if Melo gets traded. I'm not saying when, because I think there is a legitimate chance that Melo doesn't get traded this season. But Hardaway, he started running some point guard sets, and the Knicks don't have point guards. Like, they've got point guards, but they've got no point guards. So you can see Hardaway getting some assist numbers. And out of this group, I don't hate him. He is going to fall. He is going to slide. He's going to be available late because of people. Oh, 4 years, 71, Knicks did it again. And he's had his moments. I don't think he's a great NBA player, but he showed us what he can do last season for Atlanta, and his opportunity is going to be significantly increased this season.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.
Yeah, I'm not as convinced. We've got him projected at 17 points per game and 2.3. So I just feel you, once again, you can find some scoring and three-point shooting off of the bench, whether that's someone like a KCP or a JJ Redick. But yeah, once again, as you said, the opportunity's there, and 32 minutes per game, you sort of can't overlook that at all.
Most of these guys in this zone are points and threes guys. Hield, Waiters, Hardaway, Crabbe, Caldwell-Pope, Gordon, Redick. And then you've got the outliers, I guess, like Evans and Danny Green and Iguodala and Bogdanović, who's probably going to be more of a points and threes guy in his first season. But this is what I talk about when I say, if you want threes, you can get them later. You can find these guys on waiver wise, like my constant one is Troy Daniels, Nick Young, Wayne Ellington. They can get you 2 threes a game, and not that they're going to help you in other areas, but you can stream in one position for the week and win you threes just by doing that, and concentrate your other guys in those other categories. So it takes a little bit of value away from some of these guys. Like when you're looking at a mid-round guy whose values comes from 2.7 threes as opposed to someone whose comes from 7 assists, the 7 assist guy wins to me. If someone has 2.5 threes but scores 10 points a game, and someone scores 1.5 threes but scores 23 points a game, then you take the 23 points like every day of the week because you can find these threes, and you see, look, there's just a bunch of shooting guards here late that you can get to get you 2 threes a game, and a majority of these guys should be hitting that 2 threes a game mark. That brings us to the end of the shooting guard tiers.
Is there anyone that sort of I haven't listed? Maybe someone like Denzel Valentine, because once again, that these are the sort of the top 30 players I've got.
Yeah.
Deeper leagues, maybe, anything with Denzel Valentine, or maybe a Donovan Mitchell type, anyone sort of stand out, you know, when we're talking sort of 180, 200 players deep?
Terry Ross, Caris LeVert, I think is an interesting guy in that zone. Wes Matthews didn't crack the list here for you, neither did Jordan Clarkson, and I totally agree with that, obviously, because you know, I did the projections. I read somewhere on Reddit yesterday that someone said that Jordan Clarkson is going to be a sleeper, going at pick 107, and I could not agree less with that. I cannot see him exceeding the rank of 107th. But these are guys that you might be in consideration with that end group. You know, you might look at a guy like Clarko or Boyan ahead of maybe an Andre Iguodala or Wes Matthews. Any of those guys, Farton, Will Barton, as you said, Denzel Valentine is another option. If he wins the starting job and gets 30 minutes a night, which I don't think is going to happen with Denzel, then he really does have that opportunity to become a top 150 player. So there are a bunch of these guys that are going to cycle in and out of waiver-wise and on and off teams. But hitting the right one and getting them at the right time can be a really interesting thing for your team and can really help them build.
And you'll see as well when we do the small forward tiers, probably similar time next week, that once again, there are just so many small forwards that you can get later in drafts. So once again, it's all about sort of your point guards and power forward centres early in that top 50.
What do you make of Austin Rivers? He's getting drafted at 113. He's probably going to be the starting shooting guard for the Clippers.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be lasting on people's teams for very long, put it that way.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, the minutes will be there, but the production will be spotty and sporadic at best. Matt, we are done with this. People can read the article over on Basketball Monster, of course, and then we will be back to talk small forwards next week. Tell everyone where they can find you on Twitter.
Yep, find me on Twitter at SmanSports. So, yeah, follow me or unfollow me or whatever. But yeah, if you got any questions about fantasy basketball, tiers, whatever, I'll normally answer if you'd be kind. So yeah, follow me at SmanSports.
Yep, go and follow Matt. Go and follow me at RedRock_Beeble. And go and sign up to Basketball Monster. Get your subscription and membership for this season. And on the referral code, you can enter either Josh or Matt, either one of us, or Kyle if you want. It's just a way of tracking where the new members come from. Check out all our new features. And one of the great features on Basketball Monster with membership this year is it gives you a free commissioner product over on Fantrax that's worth $79.95, and that's for everything that Fantrax offers, all the elaborate categories, salary caps, contracts, 30-team leagues, all the stuff that you would have to pay that fee for. You can get that subsidized for you this year by signing up to Basketball Monster, and then you get that Fantrax commissioner product, which is what now, all the Red Rock 30-team leagues use, the Red Rock Dynasty League, all the Red Rock head-to-head leagues use that Fantrax commissioner product. So it is a fantastic offer. And again, if you're looking to set up a league that is a dynasty-based, salary cap-based, any sort of league, but any of those ones in particular, Fantrax is the way to go, and you can get it free by signing up to Basketball Monster. Get yourself a $40 saving on it by signing up to us, and then you get that free $80 commissioner product. So go and do that. Matt, thank you again.
Thanks, Josh.
We are done here, everyone. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Damari Carroll.